Scripture reading for our meditation today is the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. 35 years ago next week, two men got into a hot air balloon and tried to cross the Pacific Ocean. And it had never been done before, has never been done since. One of them was a very well-known atheist by the name of Richard Branson, the owner of Virgin Airlines. Due to a malfunction on that trip with the balloon, it was clear to them that there was a very slim chance they would make it across, and they were probably going to die in the deep blue ocean of the Pacific. Suddenly, this atheist man had to find God. Suddenly, he dropped to his knees and began requesting of some being up there above him for help. And for a brief moment, it mattered that he had to be able to find God. And he began making promises to him of things he would do in his life if he got him out of this situation. He began calling on him. And all of a sudden, it really mattered in his life. They did survive the trip, and he later looks back on that moment and laughs at himself, kind of mocks himself. It's interesting sometimes that people who don't really care much about spiritual matters will all of a sudden have this urge in them to find God, to somehow connect to God, when something really horrible is about to happen, or maybe after a great disaster. There are a lot of things for us to do in life. There are a lot of things that you're preparing to do with your lives, wonderful things. And there are a lot of games to play, and there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives, things to enjoy. There's so much to do. And yet at the same time, there are so many things that we just can't control. There's so many things that can happen to us. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's a grave waiting for each one of us. And our best doctors that we have in our world today can maybe extend life a little bit at times, but they have not and cannot answer the problem of death. We simply must find God. We must make contact with God. It's imperative. There's really nothing of higher importance. But how do we do that? Where do we go? Where do we find him? When we look at a lot of human beings' attempts at trying to seek and find God, they don't always come up with the best places. Even Abraham had to be pulled away from worshiping false idols in a previous land before God called him. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, creates an idol of himself, as if he could find God there. The prophets of Baal begin cutting themselves. And I think with these wise men, in their childhoods, what previous strange things had they been taught about how to go and seek to find God? What weird notions had they maybe learned when they were children or in their youth as far as where to go and find God in their homeland? When God looks down from heaven and observes our searching hearts and observes us looking for him, what does he conclude? He says, there's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. Now, I can sometimes have a false notion in my mind and heart that, and I can be very arrogant analyzing myself and think, well, not me, when I'm such a spiritually minded person that I certainly would know the right place to go and to look and so on. But no, the Bible says that's not true about any one of us. We just would not know on our own where to go looking for God. Had it not been for God coming to find us through his word, through the waters of baptism and leading us to Christ, I often think, what strange altar might I be bowing in front of had God not done that in my life? What weird practice or strange religious ritual might I be involved in if God had not taken the time through my parents and pastors and others to lead me to the cradle of Christ? It's interesting that even God's faithful people, even they who have known the things of God, when they are left to their own devices apart from his word, will drift back to very strange things. A great example of that is during the Exodus. When you have all of God's, they have been just spared by God through the great Passover event. Think what that was like. The sacrifice of the Lamb, a picture of Christ. And God leads all of them now out of Egypt. Plunder the Egyptians as they leave. And God now comes to deliver the Ten Commandments to them on Mount Sinai. And because Moses takes too long to come back down from the mountain, what happens? Well, one of their leaders, Aaron, decides, you know what we should do? Let's take all of that plunder we got from the Egyptians, let's melt it down, and let's make a god out of it. Let's form it into a calf, and I'll build an altar in front of it, and we'll establish a festival around it. We'll make a whole worship thing around it, and we're all going to bow down and worship this big gold cow. That was their best idea. That was people who already knew God. Once they just walked briefly away from his word, that's what they came up with. A cow. A cow. That's how stupid we are. That's how much God needs to tell us where to find him. And he has, thank God, done that. From God's perspective, he has too deep and strong of a love for human beings to let us just wander away on our own into oblivion. He has too powerful of a longing in his heart to reconnect. Why do you think God made people initially to have the image of him in them? Because he wanted to have a relationship with them. When they fell away, he could have just thrown it aside, but he wanted to pursue it again. And so he put in place the very gift of this son to come and make that happen. And so God has always and continues to still have this strong urge and love deep inside of him for you to connect with him, to know him, and to have a personal relationship with him, and to understand what he means in your life. And so he leads us to where that is to take place. And sometimes it's in some kind of unexpected places. Those men who were coming from the east, the wise men, were led by a star to a little manger of a little child. And God, through his word today, not by a star, but through his word, likewise leads you and me to that same little child, that same newborn infant. He wants you to know that he is approachable, that he loves you, that he has forgiven you, has compassion for you, and he wants to take you to heaven someday. And so God's star of revelation settles above no other cradle than the one that contains his Christ. It's as if God is saying to you, go ahead and look all around you want, but this is the only place you're going to truly find me in the world. This is the only place where you can have hope and have your sins forgiven and have the promise of living forever after your grave. This little baby. And the same child is the one who becomes an adult and proclaims about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. And so the star above Christ also condemns and damns to hell all other religious practices that do not lead us to Christ. As Peter says, salvation, that means getting to heaven, is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. So the star did not hover over Mecca. It did not hover over some carved image or over a cow or some pagan ritual, but rather only where God's Son has made entrance into the world. Here and here alone is God. Here and here alone is true religion to be found. Here and here alone is your Savior and your hope of heaven. Bow before him. Amen. For our prayer today, I ask that while we sing our final hymn, verse 4 would be your prayer.
Thank you.
now may the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.